Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
It's been a volatile first quarter for financial markets as a host of geopolitical tensions, inflation fears, and sharp swings across stocks, bonds, and commodities have kept investors guessing about what comes next. And that's why today we're going to check back in with the time-tested Dow Theory and see what it says about markets going forward. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. As mentioned, we're talking Dow Theory, so that means we're bringing on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com. All right, Chuck, to start things off, and for the Gains listeners who are new to this, the first thing I always tell people is grab a piece of paper and a pen. And on that piece of paper, across the middle, draw a horizontal line. And on the top portion of the page, write Dow Industrials High and Dow Transports High. That's in the top half of the page. And then in the bottom half of the sheet, below that horizontal line, write Dow Industrials Low and Dow Transports Low. So on the top half, you have Dow Industrials High and Dow Transports High. And then on the bottom half of the sheet, you have Dow Industrials Low and Dow Transports Low. And these are the four levels that we'll be watching, and we'll be giving you those four levels that we're going to discuss today in just a minute. But Chuck, as we kick things off here, give us a primer of the Dow Theory and what exactly it is, and then we can give those numbers for the data points we talked about.
Sure, Andy. The Dow Theory, which has been around for over 100 years, quite frankly, is a time-tested tool that helps determine the market's primary trend, whether that trend is bullish or bearish. And the primary trend typically lasts a minimum of 18 months and can be significantly longer. That trend is bullish under the Dow Theory. The last major signal under the Dow Theory was back in February when both the Dow Jones Industrial Average and Dow Jones Transportation Average, which are the two factors that go into the Dow Theory, the Dow Industrials and Dow Transports, they both went to new all-time highs in early February. And so that was a very clear signal to reconfirm the bull market under the Dow Theory. Now, as many people know, what we have had since that peak has been a pretty sharp sell-off in the market in both the Dow Industrials and the Dow Transports. And what we have seen here more recently over the last 48 hours is a bit of a rebound off of those lows. So under the Dow Theory, what you want to see now is a rebound in the industrials and transports to go above those previous highs. And I'm going to give you those previous highs right now.
And they're in the top portion, and these are the two data points in the top half of the page that we talked about. Dow Industrials High and Dow Transports High. And then Chuck's going to give the numbers here.
Right. So for the Dow Industrials, their high was on February 10th, and the number is 50,188.14. That's 50, 50188.14. That is the all-time high in the Dow Industrials. In the Dow Transports, the all-time high, which was on February 6th, was 19,892.36. That number again is 19,892.36. 19,892.36. Why those points matter is that in order to reconfirm the existing bull market signal, ultimately you need both the Dow Industrials and the Dow Transports, and I emphasize both of them. You need both of those indices to close, and I emphasize close, above those previous levels. That would be a reconfirmation of the bull market trend and kind of a, you know, an all clear in terms of, okay, the correction that we've been experiencing is over, and we should get another extended upward move in the market. I think as an aside, Andy, it's important to say that at this point, because the primary trend is still bullish, the pullback we have seen here pretty much in the month of March was we consider that to be a pullback within an ongoing bull market. We do not believe that is the beginning of a bear market at this point. It has the characteristics of a correction within a bull market. It has the duration. Bull market corrections typically last 3 weeks to 3 months. So this correction is well within that kind of time period. And the retracement amount from the previous rally is still within what you would consider to be a secondary correction. So I just want to make that clear that, you know, this has been a pullback within a bull market and not the beginning of a bear market.
However, and one thing I want to just throw in there, and that's the nice thing about the Dow theory throughout all of this, is it's actually kept you in the market. But go ahead, Chuck.
Well, it has, and it helps. I mean, the Dow theory is a really strong tool for providing perspective, especially during market periods that feel just crazy and chaotic like we've been through. And quite frankly, that's what corrections are supposed to do. Corrections within bull markets are supposed to scare the heck out of investors, because by doing that, they restore values, they skim the speculative froth off the market, and they position the market to be able to make its next up leg. In other words, you need corrections in a healthy market to sustain its upward move, and I believe that's what we've had. Now, what would change the trend from bullish to bearish? And that's where these points come into play. The market peaked, as I mentioned, in February. Then we had significant decline into March. What you want to see now, as I said, is a rebound off of those lows in March, and I'll give you those lows in a moment, a rebound that goes back above the previous highs, which I gave you. On the other hand, if we have failed attempts at new highs where one or both of the averages do not go to new all-time highs, but instead rally, fail to go to all-time highs, and then pull back, if those pull back below their March lows, that would be a change in the trend from bullish to bearish. And here are those lows. In the Dow Industrials, the low point is 45,166.64, which is the March 27th closing low. That number again is 45,166.64. So if you're, you know, rooting for the market, you do not want to see the Dow Jones Industrial Average close below that level. In the level, in the case of the Dow Transports, the level is the March 12th low of 17,710.92. Now, for the trend, the primary trend under the Dow theory to change from bullish to bearish, you would need both of those averages to close below those points I just gave you. In the case of the industrials, again, it's the March 27th low of 45,166.64. And in the case of the Dow transports, the low is 17,710.92. So things are pretty much, from a Dow theory perspective, mapped out pretty clearly here. You want to see this rally continue and the market kind of continue to claw its way higher and eventually close above those previous highs of 50,188.14 in the industrials and 19,892.36 in the transports. If, in fact, this rally would stall out and then ultimately both of the indices go below the previous lows, that would be a change in the trend from bullish to bearish. And again, those lows, in the case of the industrial, the low is 45,166.64. And in the transports, the low is 17,710.92. So there you have it. I mean, in a nutshell, Andy, from a Dow theory perspective, things lay out pretty clearly. And what I like about that is that, you know, there are very specifics that anybody can kind of follow and make judgment calls based on what the Dow theory is saying, because it maps out very clearly right now.
And it's historically accurate. And like I had said earlier, you know, when things started getting a little shaky, I was thinking, you know, maybe a couple sessions ago, last week, you still had those levels and it kept you in the market if you were following the Dow theory. So we can continue to, watch. Now, real quick, just looking at the downside, because we've seen the threat of the downside here, especially as of late. If they did, and it was important that you mentioned these are closing, it's always the closing numbers that we look at, but say the industrials and the transports both close below those levels that we discussed, then what's your advice for, you know, that shifts the whole Dow theory from bullish to bearish. How do you handle that if that would come up?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. It's, in effect, it's kind of when the rubber meets the road. I mean, you can talk numbers and theory all you want, but what should I do from an investment standpoint? And what we typically do, Andy, is we take some stock exposure off the table. And now, we don't do all or nothing market timing. We never go to 0% equity. And the reason for that is, quite frankly, A, you know, no tool is perfect. And if the Dow theory is wrong, you've got a massive opportunity cost in being out of the market, especially when the market turns. And markets, as we know, turn and can turn pretty quickly. And if you're on the wrong side of that turn in a big way, you know, you've really hurt your portfolio for a long, long time. So what we do is acknowledge that all or nothing market timing is difficult, if not impossible, but it's prudent to take some course of defensive action if for no other reason that you're building up dry powder to use during this decline, during the bear market decline. And that's when you can really make hay in the market, is if you do have some cash and to put that cash to work, presumably when stocks really get hammered, then you're positioning yourself for the next up leg, which inevitably will come. What we'll do basically is trim our equity exposure from, say, the low to mid 90s where we are right now, probably down somewhere into the mid 70s to high 70s. So, you know, we would probably take, you know, 15 to 25% of our equity exposure off the table in a portfolio where we could be fully invested in stocks. And we would do that in a number of ways. We would go through in stocks that were on the bubble going into it. Those would be easy sells. Stocks where perhaps we are overweighted, they represent areas where we could trim back that exposure. And then finally, if there's news that comes out or there's particular sectors that just don't look very good in this environment, we may trim in those sectors as well. My experience has been typically it's the sell part kind of filters its way out. You know, you're going to see stocks in your portfolio and it gives you a chance to get rid of stocks that you don't know why they're still in there in the first place, and you bought them and you can't remember why, and they're kind of zombie stocks. This is the time to get rid of them and start building some powder to be able to deploy that in good stocks that pull back during a bear market. So, you know, I didn't answer that very quickly, but, you know, to summarize it, basically you know, we'll take anywhere from 15 to 25% off the table in terms of stock exposure.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. We'll get advice for those who've been sitting on the sidelines throughout all of this when we get back. But hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday evenings, and we'll be right back with Chuck after the break.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
All right, back with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com. So, Chuck, for those people who've been sitting on the sidelines, or maybe for those that are new to investing, or someone who just has dry powder, maybe from a tax return, I mean, the Dow theory is still bullish right now. So what's your advice for people who are on the sidelines or who have fresh dry powder that they've been thinking about deploying to the market?
I think you deploy it. And maybe you don't deploy all of it, but, you know, as you mentioned, it's still a bull market. We have had a decline, and there has been a number of values that have been restored. I mean, you look at, you know, we've talked for a long time, Andy, and there were times when I'm sure people out there were saying, I would love to buy, say, the Mag 7 stocks, for example. Boy, when they come down, I'm going to be buying them. Well, they're down. I mean, you can buy a stock like Nvidia at, you know, 21 times earnings. You can buy Micron Technologies at probably 4 or 5 times its next 12 month earnings. You can buy a stock like Microsoft at a PE ratio that's its lowest since 2015. I mean, if you have dry powder and you had your eye on some stocks, those stocks may be in a level that you should be putting some dry power for it. And if you're a trader, let's say you're a trading investor, what you can do is, if you have dry powder, you're seeing stocks you want to buy, but you're also a little worried about the downside here, go buy the position, but be willing to close it out if, in fact, you see a penetration or a close below those levels I gave you. So there you have clear direction in terms of a trading model where you can put money to work now, but, you know, you can close out the positions if, in fact, we see closes but below those low levels that I discussed.
Almost a bit of pre-planning there.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, waiting for a reconfirmation before you buy, or buying and then you get a negative bearish signal, as long as you have a plan going in that says, listen, this is what I'm going to do. If in fact it goes to new all-time highs, then I'm golden and I'm going to stay with the positions. If in fact it goes against me, you know, I've got a fairly limited loss area there, and I'll take my lumps and pull out, which is what good trading is all about, is knowing when to trim your losses. And here you have very clear guidelines from a Dow theory perspective on where to close out positions if, in fact, those are closed, are you know, the market closes below those lows that I mentioned in the industrials and the transports.
And, you know, after watching markets for quite some time now, you know, seeing those low levels, both the Dow Industrials and Dow Transports, kind of holding up here a little bit when it started getting a little scary. Actually, I think that bodes well for the market, you know, going forward. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do too. And the one thing that really kind of emboldens me or gives me some comfort in terms of the market's ability to move forward is the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which nobody ever looks at except us, Andy, and you should, because there's a lot of information you can glean from the performance of the Dow Jones Transportation Average. And for example, in the first quarter of this year, and during a period, especially in March, when you would think transportation stocks should be just getting shredded because of skyrocketing oil prices, and they're very sensitive to oil, questions about the economy, and the Dow Transports may be the most hypersensitive index there is to the future economic activity. And lo and behold, you know what the Dow Transportation Average did in the first quarter of this year?
I mean, lights out. The thing was on fire. I couldn't believe it.
It was up 7%.
Yes.
It was up 7% for the first 3 months. And that's after getting worked over a little bit in the month of March. So the fact that you have the most economically sensitive index there is, an index that is really tethered seemingly to energy prices, up 7%, that really kind of gives me some solace that, you know, the future economic conditions probably will be okay.
And they had been lagging before. They had really been a lagger. They just hadn't moved like the rest of the market. And, you know, that's why, like, as you mentioned, when there were some concerns popping up, I'm like, what are they talking about? The transports are kind of running here. I think we talked about it.
Yeah. So if there's kind of a silver lining, or at least a kind of a beacon of something to hang your hat on in terms of future market activity, you know, transports are providing that for us. And so, I think, you know, if you held a gun in my head and said, okay, you got to pick which direction, are we going to break out to new highs or are we going to break down to new lows? I think we're going to break out the new highs, but ultimately, we'll let the market tell the story. And that's kind of how we do things. It's, you know, we can guess and we can prognosticate. Ultimately, the market will tell the final tale and it'll tell us. But I think there are reasons here to be still bullish on stocks. Again, the primary trend is still bullish. This correction has all the earmarks of a correction within a bull market. The transports have held up surprisingly well. And the other thing that's held up, quite frankly, Andy, is corporate earnings estimates. They've actually gone up. And so, you know, those three engines that we talk about so much, inflation, interest rates, and corporate profits, I mean, the corporate profit picture is still very much positive. And so there's a lot to still hang your hat on in terms of this market. And hopefully what we have seen here in the last couple of days is the beginning of some good stuff here.
And there's one other thing that you had just said, and it just hits perfect. You said, hardly anybody looks at transports and the Dow the way we do. And, you know, besides you, me, and our Gains listeners here, I almost kind of want to keep it that way because that's why it's effective. Not a lot
exactly.
of people look at the market quite this way. And the other thing is, the beautiful thing is, we have some really established levels too, so we know exactly where you're, you know, where we're at as far as the Dow theory. Explain.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Dow theory is very clear right now. If we get new all-time highs, it reconfirms the existing bullish trend. If we get new lows, then the trend has changed from bullish to bearish, and it's a reason to maybe raise some cash. When you look at a major component of the Dow theory, the Dow transports, you have to say that's a pretty positive picture that they're displaying right now. And then finally, when you look at what is probably the most important engine of those three we talk about a lot, corporate profits, interest rates, and inflation, with corporate profits probably being the most important of those engines, that's still firmly in the bullish camp. So, yeah, you know, if your listeners take nothing away from our conversation, Andy. It is, you know, the Dow transports matter. Nobody looks at them. If you look at them, that can give you an edge. And right now, they are still saying a pretty positive, singing a positive song about this market.
All right. Big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website horizoninvestment.com. And hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesdays. And I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.